And that which is done is that which shall be done. And here's the familiar phrase, and there is no new thing under the sun. Ecclesiastes 1:9. Physically speaking, he was right. For substance, regardless of what shape and form, is nothing more than already existing material. When someone creates, they don't create new material. They just use what exists. And socially and historically, he is also correct in telling this truth, nothing new under the sun. Man has a tendency to repeat his actions and his behavior and his living. So you look at what we're experiencing today. Just this week, I heard something on the radio about a problem that was being dealt with. And it's nothing new. It's something that has existed for generations. But it became a big news story, okay, on the program that was telling it. History repeats itself is the phrase that we often hear. But for the individual and even for a group such as a church, life is full of new things. You say, no, wait a minute. The scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. I just acknowledged to you physically, socially, historically, that's so. But there are some new things. Listen, use the word different. There are some different things. And in 2023, we are going to see some different things. And they can be considered to be new. They're new to us. We've not experienced them before. What is it that can be said to be new? The process of time. As individuals and as a group of individuals in 2023, we are going to see and experience some things that we have not seen or experienced before. They're new to us. There may be other generations who have seen them, but we haven't. And truly, we can say like Joshua said, ye have not passed this way before. I'm going to be in Joshua, if you would turn to it, Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to read Joshua chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Joshua challenged the people of Israel with the same words when they stood on the bank of the Jordan River. They had just traversed for 40 years in the wilderness. Now they come to the river and they're ready to go across. Well, they've seen rivers before. That's not new. They've crossed rivers before. That's not new. But this one is new to them. They had not crossed it before. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it, follow it. Mm-hmm. Yet there shall be a space between you and it. Follow it, but, you know, don't tailgate it. All right? Leave a space. About 2,000 cubits by measure. And come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For here it is, ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. Set yourself apart to God. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Canaan was not a new land, except to the children of Israel. Their journeys and battles were not new to the Israelites, but there was a new purpose, and there was a new incentive that now made them want to move and to fight. Before the new land would be conquered, there had to be certain preparations that were made. And so it is with you and I, today's Christians. Certain preparations must be made if we are going to be able to claim personal victories in 2023. You see, this year, we have not passed this way before. There are new opportunities. Well, we had a January last year. Yeah, but that was last year. This is this year. To Joshua, the preparations were first of all outlined by God. And then they were related by God through Joshua to the people. Human leaders must know some things before they can lead. May we who are leaders, pastors, as the pastor said, I'm sort of got my own little niche or category. What I actually said was, I am not an assistant pastor, but I assist the pastor. You see, there is a position called assistant pastor, another one called associate pastor. There's different, and each of these has their own distinctive functions. But I'm not either of them. I just assist him. I try to think of myself as a helper. Amen. To the pastor. And so may we who are leaders, pastors, deacons, trustees, the servants of the church, the Sunday school teachers, are all leaders of one type or another. And we need to listen intently as though God was speaking to us individually. We're part of this church, the function of this church, but we need to be listening as if God were speaking to us individually. Now in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2, we read, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. God said, Moses is dead. In my Bible, the page to the left shows Deuteronomy chapter 34. And Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 10 says, And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Moses was quite the man. He had quite the relationship with God. God used him in a very unusual way. We know that in Egypt and leading the people out of Egypt and wandering in the wilderness and all that God taught. But Moses was dead. His voice was gone. His domineering personality was absent. And dead men can't lead the living. Now I know the living can learn from what a dead man taught and how a dead man did things, and we can, you know, follow their example. I understand that. I might be a Pennsylvania Dutchman, but I got a grasp on that. You can learn that. But dead men can't lead the living. You need living leaders to lead the living. Now, here I am, flesh and blood. Here's pastor, flesh and blood. Okay, he's living. But what we need, and these Sunday school teachers, they teach these boys and girls, okay? They're living. But what we need is the leading of the Spirit of God. No matter how grand and glorious the past is gone, there is only now and tomorrow. You say, oh boy, wasn't that a wonderful youth week? Yeah, but that's gone.
Amen.
That's gone.
Amen.
And all there's going to be is the coming youth week. And you say, well, I bet that's going to be as good as the last one. It's going to be what God wants it to be.
That's right.
And we'll glory in whatever it is.
That's right.
But if God were to take Youth Week and show us and just pull back the curtain, as it were, on each of our lives, If he were to take Youth Week and use it to pull back the curtain on Black Creek Baptist Church to see what's back there that we ourselves may not even know is there. That's what God will do.
Amen.
Okay? And that would be glorious because that's what God would do. All the past can do is serve as an example, either for good or for bad. Our church made some spiritual and practical conquests this year. We had professions of faith, many of them, sitting here in the service, some outside of the service. We have reclaimed backsliders. That is somebody who was saved, they were following the Lord, but they just started doing what they wanted to do their way. But God spoke to their heart and God said, I'm going to take you back. I'm going to reclaim you. And we have some new members, new church members, and we have spirit-led services. Not every service, but some services, the Spirit of God descends on it, and you can just sense and be aware of His presence. Now, all of the services are good, and the Spirit of God is there, okay? All of them are good. Say, listen, on Friday, I had 2 hot dogs. Put some onions on them and some chili sauce. I'm going to bag of chips on my left. I'm going to eat them chips, you know. A jar of pickles up here. Pickles are good for everything. A jar of pickles up here. And I had that lunch. That was good. It was nourishing. But it wasn't like the pot roast that I made. Boy, that was something else. That chuck roast, all them vegetables. Okay, that was something else. But listen, they all give nourishment. Therefore, when you come to a service and it just seems dead to you, when it just seems routine to you, that's your hot dog. Just eat it and be thankful for it. Amen. And then you come to another service and you have a pot roast. Okay? The Spirit of God descends and it's just wonderful and marvelous. And you leave here just rejoicing. And why? God blessed us today. God blessed us on the hot dog days too.
That's right.
Okay, and we need to remember that, else we get feeling oriented. Okay, and what we feel like we had a good service. No, you don't go by feelings. You'll have some good feelings, but you don't go by them. The Apostle Paul, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before us. We had some building accomplishments, projects, buildings, renovations. My, there's been massive work done on this building up here, downstairs, during the past year and actually past couple years. And that's wonderful. We have some new families that are here today and weren't here, I don't know, a year ago, 2 years ago. I don't keep track of everybody. Praise the Lord, I'm not the pastor. That's his job. No. And there's some benefits in not being there in the whole structure of things. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2, he tells us, arise and go over this Jordan. The time with Moses is done. He's dead. It's past. Your time of abandonment in the wilderness, it's done. And now you're going to go over the Jordan. Now the river was new to them. The river itself was strange and the land beyond even stranger. 40 years before, they were told of terrifying giants. And they feared them. And, you know, God's going to take them over Jordan now. But he didn't say that the giants are gone. He didn't say they're not there anymore. He didn't change the report. But now God had a difference. You see, there may come something in your life that is sort of like before, but you recognize it's somewhat different also. Well, just follow God all the time. You don't, listen, we should not try to argue and analyze the commands of God, the direction that God gives us. We do not have to analyze and say, well, I'm not sure, Lord, that if that would work in my situation. Oh, yeah, you're so unique that God has got to change his plans for you. I don't think so. I don't think so. We're the one that need to get in order. And he says in chapter 1, verse 5, okay, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He says that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. He had his provisions and promises. Never a word about immunity from the troubles and the problems. Now, I acknowledge to you that when I face some struggles and problems, when I see what my wife is going through at this time, I acknowledge to you, I would like that to be changed. I would like that to be different. I would like to go back a half a year ago. That's what I'd like things to be like. But they're not. They're not. They're like they are today. And you too may wish things were like they were a year ago. But they're not. They're like they are today. Never a word about immunity from troubles. But God says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee.
Amen.
God will be with us. Amen. There's never a promise in the Bible of a happy new year. And I understand how we use that. I'm not going to throw a rock at you when you say happy new year to me. Okay, and I might even myself say happy new year to you. I understand the tradition of things. You know, some people get so holy they get bent out of shape. And it's not like a halo. Thank you for catching that point, John. At the very beginning of this place where we have not been before, 2023, we've not been here before. Many familiar things that are in it, but we've not been here before. But here, let me ask this question. Do we want Jesus or simply the nice things we think he can give us? Do we want Jesus or the absence of trouble? Because you see, we may have Jesus and the troubles are still there.
Come on.
Be strong and of good courage. Verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. I don't know what God's going to divide to us, but he'll take care of us. He promised it. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Be strong and very courageous. I acknowledge I don't always feel strong and courageous. There's many times I feel weak and pain. But I know God is still there. And it's in his strength that we're going to be able to do whatever it is that he has for us. He says, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. If we're going to prosper, we're going to have to stay straight with the word of God. We're going to have to stay straight with the word of God. And not say, well, you know, I think I can fudge a little here, and I think we can do a little different over here. I know some Christians don't see it that way, and look, go the way that God sees it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Yeah, we need to spend more time in the Word of God. That's what we need to do. Now, if you already are in the Word of God sufficient in time, then there's some other area that God will work to strengthen your life in. He'll take that which you're doing in the Word according to what's written, but he's going to work in that other area. It might be prayer. It might just be your attitude. It might be the fact of you being friendly to somebody that just they rankle you. Do you have anybody like that in your life? That they don't have to do anything. They're just going to irritate you by their existence. Well, God's going to want to work on that. Great. Now you're already in the Bible morning and evening, and you're already doing prayer. Great. Will you even come to prayer meeting and stay and pray in the groups? Wonderful! But you better get things straightened out with that person.
That's right.
That you wouldn't care if they died.
Uh-oh, come on.
Okay, that's where you need to work for 2023.
Yeah.
Now, I have places where God says, hey, Roger, you need to work on this. You know, I'd rather not hear that. I'd rather just read the Bible and hear him talk there, because then I can pick what I read. Yeah, we can't pick and choose. God's going to do it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Then, after we do it God's way. Then, when we follow what God is telling us. Be strong and of good courage. Why are we so shocked when failure, disappointment, hurt, and defeat comes our way, when we know that we have not chosen to follow God? When we know that in this matter, we are not doing what we know God told us to do. Why are we shocked when things go wrong? He says they're going to divide the land and inheritance by the tribes. They divided the land. And you can find maps that show that division even yet today. And it's an inheritance. God has something he wants to give us. God wants to give you an inheritance. And so Joshua speaks to the people. When you see the ark, follow it. When you see the ark, when you see the word of God, follow it. Not just to look at it. I know I had a couple one time, they were going to travel to Florida, and the lady said to me, we're going to be all right. I said, well, I'm glad you're going to be all right. She said, we're going to lay our Bible up on the dashboard. And then when they came back, they said, you know, as long as we had our Bible on the dashboard, everything went good. But, you know, we'd take it off the dashboard, and boy, we began to have problems. We'd get lost, and the car would sputter and everything. We put it back up on the dashboard and everything would be okay. That's not the way the Bible is intended to be used. Now, we know that. We need to read it and believe it and follow it. And listen, you read it and you say to God, God, I don't understand that. Or you read it and you say, God, I don't like that. You say, oh, I'd never say that to God. You may as well. He already knows what you're thinking. Well, and if he knows, why do I need to say it? Because the saying it is an admission to God.
That's right.
Of where you are in your condition. And so we need to find a criteria for this church that makes the decisions based on what God wants. It is not a matter of looking back to whatever year and boy, we did it that way and we're going to do it that way again. If God wants it done that way again. God spoke to Moses. God spoke to Joshua. And God will speak to our pastor. You say, oh, you're elevating him quite a bit. No, I'm not. God did that. God has given pastors to lead the church. Do we always like the way he leads? Probably not. But do you know what? It isn't up to us. We aren't going to stand before God and give an account for Black Creek Baptist Church. If you have an office, you'll give an account for what you did or didn't do in that office. But you're not going to give an account for the whole ball of wax. Pastor's going to be that. You say, oh, yeah, I wish I was a pastor and had all that power. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because with that authority, you see, that's the term, not power. with that authority that God gives to lead the church, he also gives the responsibility to bear the burden. Your problems are not just yours. He bears them also.
That's right.
You won't see that from the outside. Oh, there may be times where he'll be, not quite as bubbly as usual. But they're there. He bears them. You and your relationship with God Almighty, you and your relationship, it's the biggest burden that he bears. Because he wants you to know the Savior.
Amen.
To follow him. In verse 3, we're told when it comes to this matter of following God, verse 5, that we are to sanctify ourselves. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. we are to, there shall, no wonder I can't find it. I'm in the wrong chapter. Chapter 3, verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. We want God to do wonders among us, but we must set ourselves apart to God. You say, well, I'm already saved. Wonderful. That's great. I'm a member, an active member of this church. Well, praise God. Pat you on the back. We need you. But he still tells us that we need to sanctify ourselves, set ourselves apart for God. Father in heaven, help us. We know that we alone cannot do what we have been instructed to do, and that we need, Father, to have your working in us and amongst us. Father, we're here as a church, and we do ourselves pray to your Father by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and protection, dear Father, that he gives to our under-shepherd, to our pastor. We pray, dear Father, that this year will be a year that will be satisfying and peaceful to you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.